Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Spencer Hillegas, who's the CEO and co-founder of Madison Investing. Spencer, welcome to the program.
Mike, what a wonderful way to spend a Friday morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, you are welcome, and I'm excited to learn what you guys do, but get us started with your entrepreneurial journey. What got you into the business and started your own firm, and what does that look like?
Oh, gosh, I was such the reluctant starter. I wake up every day these days very grateful because I'm a full-time investor and help other people do that same thing now, but it didn't start that way. I grew up in a real estate household. My dad was a broker for 30 years residential. You know, there was a time in the 90s, I believe he was in the top 3 to 5 in the whole country. And our family reaped the benefits of that. You know, I was so deeply confused by his work ethic at that time. But it leaves an imprint. You know, we all role model after our parents, you know, whether we want to or not. And seeing that experience, like going through that with, you know, working for his business as a teenager, scared me into tech companies.
You role modeled opposite of where he's going, because you're like, you know, maybe I don't really like that model.
Right. And I mean, at a fundamental level, so many of us just sit there and say, I'm not going to do the same damn thing that my parents did, right? I got to carve my own path. And so I went into tech and somehow found myself in 13 years across 5 fintech or finance tech, just software companies, in leadership roles, you know, and as a guy who grew up as kind of a punk rock, you know, metal kid who thought I was so contrarian and cool, you know, it was a very different path than I could have ever imagined. And I did cherish a lot of that. It was also pretty darn hard working 80 to 100 hours a week, going early stage. And it kind of, you know, started out big corporate, was at Intuit, for example, for 5 years. And that leadership track brought me from a customer support rep to leading teams of 200 people at the age of 27, way in over my skis. That's how you learn. And I sought out more and more challenge by design, even for less cash at times, big decision points there along the way, and saying, how do I surround myself with really capable people who can just outclass me like crazy? And that inkling, I don't know if it's a masochistic thing, I kept pursuing that until I finally got into a company that kind of like lit the fuse for me around real estate investing on nights and weekends. And, you know, flash forward, you know, 2016, we started building our own business on nights and weekends that eventually became Madison Investing.
Able to draw from your experience growing up. So then it's kind of like a fresh start or a new light, because you're like, oh, I didn't like this and this of what I was observing, but real estate industry is exciting. And now look at this new direction. So I think that's a really neat way to look at it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, frankly, one of the biggest things as an entrepreneur that took me way too long, took me decades to kind of get that light bulb on, is simply seeing other people do it that I knew personally. Yeah. And, you know, they go out and start their own business. And you ask the question, well, if they can, why not me? And so having your own direct reports, this is true. This is three guys, very brief story. I was managing them at this company, you know, that I was brought in to grow their loan origination team and build their training infrastructure at this company at the time called Lending Home. They've rebranded since, but basically, you know, they're doing 600 loans per month for fix and flippers. And I'm growing this team and managing these really capable people. But then they'd stick around for 3 hours, 4 hours after the lights went off, and they worked their butts off. And I was sitting there going, I don't want to pry. You know, I'm fine if they do a side hustle, but what the heck are they doing? I mean, flash forward a couple of years later, they're putting in the resignation letters, and they're going off and building what has now become this epically large, massive company, a portfolio based out of Texas. And that's just one example where I'm like, I respect the heck out of those guys, but I don't think they have anything special that I don't have, you know? Yeah. And so that was really the impetus and the spark for me. And then I started devouring education from there. But I won't bore you with how many podcasts and books that I read for the next 18 months after that spark happened.
But hopefully you keep reading and keep being on and listening to podcasts, because as Tony Robbins teaches, Kanai, constant and never ending improvement. That's a wonderful quality to have.
Oh man, it is it's a lifestyle choice now, right? And I think I love, you know, video games. I love playing guitar. I love these things. They're very enriching, but it's a hobby to learn and develop. And I think that looking at entrepreneurship and sitting in back inside, you know, 26 up to 2016 or so, when I first got the bug to go out and start our own thing, I knew I could offer something else. I knew I could do more. I knew I wanted to move quickly and kind of break things in service of building. And we were, just to kind of give the context financially, like dual income household. We were very comfortable, but not in terms of practical hours spent with our kids. I mean, I have two kids now, two young kids. And at the time, I remember one particular moment where I didn't see our infant son. This is a few years ago, for like 2 week period, because I was going in so early, coming home so late. And those quote unquote unicorns that I've worked at, you know, at least three of them that have all been $1 billion plus valuation. And like, those aren't humble brag points. Most of that doesn't equal anything equity wise on the back anyways, because they all eventually go down. but I bring it up because I wanted to figure out what the heck is the off ramp.
You know, like, you wanted to be part of success, but success your way.
That's right. And knowing that, you know, we were dumping money into things like 401ks. We were celebrating maxing those out. But at the same time, very much trading time for money, making positive impacts on other people within the W-2 world context, the corporate context. But all honestly, sitting there going, well, there has to be a better way. So we started just passively investing our own money, not planning to do entrepreneurship stuff, buying rentals locally, learning the hard way that those are not passive investments at all. Those are very much active.
Right.
Buying some more stuff, building a portfolio out in the Midwest with some single family rentals. That was like phase two, if you call it that. Phase three was, we're going to go invest in these bigger deals, like funds, apartment buildings, self-storage. So we went through all that stuff. And then it just very organically came that my colleagues, my network, they started saying, well, we want to invest. You guys already built this framework. It was like a vetting framework that we put together for our own investments. And people were asking me for it, and they were asking me for my advice. And I was like, well, there's something.
Come on in. The water's good. And it's almost like you were the guide in the jungle with the machete clearing the way, going, here's the shortcut.
Gosh, I use that example all the time.
Do you really, with the machete in the jungle, for real?
All the time.
That's hilarious.
That is so eerie. Yeah. That's wow. Awesome, Mike. I mean, personally, I think it's a pretty good one. So kudos to you. You know, anyways, folks would ask me, and these are executives, you know, they're like making incredibly strong income, but they're also paying a lot in taxes. They're also, you know, working their butts off, and they're going, you know, 80 plus hours a week. And so they see me eventually put in my resignation to my full-time career in 2019, 5 months before the global pandemic, you know, coronavirus came. Great timing, of course. Yes. And frankly, they were like, how the heck are you doing this? Aren't you terrified? And I'm like, honestly, no. I mean, it is scary, to be sure. But I'm not as scared as they probably thought, because we had been planning for this stuff. I mean, I tried to replace, you know, the number we were going for was 70% of my income from our side hustle endeavors and our passive investments before I quit. And Jennifer, with her own, she's my wife and my co-founder and COO, you know, she has her own career, marketing leader on her side, 13 years, really capable. And she eventually quit later too in 2021. But at that moment, I quit, and it went right into COVID, and we had never felt stronger and more stable financially. And now it's a whole other level where we can just help other people hopefully carve a path with their figurative machete going through the jungle of life and finances.
And you've used side hustle several times, which I think is so cool, because what most people as an entrepreneur do today, you don't need to quit your job and start from scratch. You can side hustle. And what the opportunity you're providing to people is a side hustle for them and a passive income for them. But you're kind of doing all the hard work finding these deals, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and really putting our own money in with the people who manage these deals first. And that's the thing that we could not find. You know, I went out there as my own investor, just to invest our own money. And when I realized, wow, I'm going to put, you know, $50,000, $100,000 minimum investment on a lot of these deals into that deal sitting out in the middle of Georgia or in the middle of Texas. And how do I know that this is going to be a good investment? And that was just before we even started sharing that type of opportunity that we're investing in with our group members, our hundreds of investors in our group now. And like, at that stage, it was like, well, we just need a clear framework. And this is a big takeaway. If I had to say entrepreneurship wise, what's the biggest learning for me along the whole journey? It was that people way smarter than myself, Mike, brilliant folks in the early stage tech startups that I had the privilege of joining and just being outclassed by these brilliant academics and, you know, folks with IQs off the charts. And I'd sit there and say, they're frameworking. They keep talking about frameworking.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck does that mean? And I mean, you walked through, you and I were chatting offline before we hit record today, and you walked me through like a really articulate framework, one of many, for how you can go and like build the foundation of a killer business, right? And I think that here, it can mean anything, but I built a framework, like a 5-part framework, and it's for vetting these deals for our own personal investment. Now, folks that come to us are like, oh, that's really valuable. Like, can you just basically go do all that to exactly your point, Mike? Like,
I agree with what you just said. Yeah, they're saying, I agree with all that. Now, can I just have you do it for me? And you're like, no, wait a minute. Maybe I can. And
yeah.
Another thing that I want to make sure that we put a pin in and make sure that it's understood. You are not finding these wonderful deals, hopefully, and saying, come one, come all, give money and let's buy this. You are putting skin in the game. You and your wife have your own funds in the same deal, in the same project. And shouldn't that make the investors feel like, okay, I need to do my due diligence and check it out and check out that framework. But man, if Spencer is putting his money in, he's got to have some faith in the deal as well.
Absolutely. You know, I'd say that we took us to such an nth degree compared to what you typically would see out there when we were looking for stuff to put our money into. Like, we would just see deals marketed like crazy. You know, you sign up on a list, people send you their deals, and you're like, oh, well, what do you know about this deal that you're sharing? And oftentimes they don't know much, let alone are they putting in their own money. Well, they usually don't have that much to put into it, which isn't a character judgment. It's just the facts. But we now we'll even put our money in with these teams to make sure that 2 to 3, 4 quarters pass where we're getting money, like distributions back from them, like cash flow from them. We're getting reporting. We see that they are real people. This ain't a Ponzi scheme at a base level, right? And that's scary terminology for people, but this is not chump change. Like, even on this quote unquote smaller investment amounts of, you know, $25,000, $50,000, right? That's a lot of money. I can't sleep at night knowing we're introducing a real estate operator, also known as the sponsor, sitting in the middle of the US and finding these deals without having gone through all that with them for a period of time and like putting our own money on the line first. So like, that's why we do what we do, is like, I couldn't find that for myself and for our capital.
And I love that. And I love how you focus on not just, you know, hey, I'm in real estate investing. Come let me do whatever you want. No. You have a really specific niche on multifamily self-storage and things like that. So it really is a different class of investment. And why did that bubble to the surface?
Yeah. So the first thing I heard from other folks, all the advice, right? Quote unquote, advice, you know, that we all receive in life from every possible direction. And we have that critical moment of, do we choose to actually follow that advice, or do we just take note? And everyone would say, oh, isn't that a big jump for you guys to go straight from, you bought a local rental, which we still own now, you know, and in California, paid way too much for how much cash we get out of it. But hey, we went from that. And then eventually jumping into these deals for like a 200 unit apartment building or like a 300 unit storage facility in, you know, North Carolina, right? Like all these deals, they sound big and hairy and complex and scary to other people. But frankly, on a spreadsheet, the mechanics are very similar. And so it's just maybe a couple more zeros, and it takes a team. It really, truly takes a team effort to go and buy a 20 to 50 to $80 million apartment building. And once we kind of got that, it was like, huh, this aligns to my very operational guy brain. And
that framework.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, I'm a guy who likes to predict whatever can be predicted. Both Jennifer and I, you know, we come from that corporate background where it's like, I can barely swing a hammer. And I thank God for YouTube every day because it helps me around the house. But I would say I cannot do that side, but I know partnerships and I know frameworking on operations, how to do a financial forecast. And so in that regard, the big deals were just more stable and more predictable. And all those things that sound so fundamental when you say them out loud, but most people, like, I struggled with this, is like a rental that we own in Kansas City, Missouri. We have a tenant that leaves. That occupancy, that thing was full 100%. They leave, it's at zero the next day.
Yeah.
And no rent coming in. It's a liability fully for you now. On the big apartment building, one person leaves at a 400.
You don't feel it as much.
You don't feel it that much, yeah, right?
And so good point.
That dynamic really opened my eyes at the economies of scale that was possible, but also just like take the fear out of all this. It can be managed. It can really be sized and predicted to the best as of my financial forecasting can be.
I love it. I think these make sound advice. You know, like the example you just gave was like, oh, you have one rental and they move out and it's vacant for 6 months. Bad news. But you have one tenant move out of a, you know, couple hundred unit complex. Yeah, you want to get it filled, but it's not going to be devastating. So that makes sense. I love the fact that you're putting your money where your mouth is. And so if someone is listening to this saying, hey, you know what, Spencer, I want to follow behind you in the jungle, swinging the machete and have just kind of follow that framework. What's the best way they can reach out and learn more about what you guys do and reach out and connect with you?
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate the discussion so much today, Mike. Thank you. So it's madisoninvesting.com. That's our website. Ton of info on there that's helpful, but we're really excited about just launching a killer new resource. It is free. It's a no obligation resource, and we were asked to build this type of thing by our investors, and so we put it together for anyone that's kind of at the high level first steps of education on how to go do that type of investing that we had to figure out with our figurative machete like you're talking about, Mike. So it's the blueprint for passive investing. Folks can go to our website and they can just sign up for that, download it, and they'll start getting an email series over the course of 7 days that they can then go and apply in their own lives if they'd like to. And so, and of course, we are accepting new members, for our investing club as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure talking with you today, Spencer.
Likewise, Mike. Wonderful way to start the day on a Friday. So thank you so much.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.